on a borrowed donkey, riding into Jerusalem, surrounded by a throng of cheering people shouting Hosanna. This event marks a significant shift in approach for Jesus. Prior to this, we're told that Jesus walked everywhere, apart from the few times he sat or sailed in a boat. Now he's riding a donkey. That's significant. Prior to this, Jesus has resisted attempts to acclaim him as king. He even insisted that demons and people be quiet about his identity as Messiah. Now he accepts and seems to be basking in the acclaim that is offered him by the crowd. That's a significant turn. Prior to this, Jesus has been restrained in his engagement with the religious and political leaders. Now he seems bent on provoking a confrontation with them. That's a posture that will continue throughout the rest of Holy Week. That's a significant turn. On Palm Sunday, everything changes for Jesus. Laying aside all reserve, the king in waiting steps onto center stage. Embracing his role as Israel's king, he finds himself on a donkey, surrounded by a cheering crowd, and on a collision course with the religious and political authorities. Palm Sunday is Jesus' coming out party. Luke tells us that sometime earlier, Jesus had resolutely set out from Galilee for Jerusalem. Jesus knew in a way that no one else understood or anticipated that his calling as Israel's Messiah and King would cost him his life. God's plan for the salvation of Israel and for the rest of the world involves Jesus' death, which we will pay attention to more on Friday. Jesus would offer himself as a perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, for the healing of the world, for the defeat of the forces of darkness that held the world in bondage. And so he made his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he would die there. Jesus timed his arrival in Jerusalem to coincide with the Passover festival. Passover was the annual commemoration of God's deliverance of his people from slavery in Egypt. And Jewish pilgrims came from all over the world to Jerusalem annually to celebrate Passover. They retold the ancient stories of freedom from oppression and prayed that God would once again set them free, this time from the oppression of Rome. So as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they would have been joined by other crowds of pilgrims who were also headed to Jerusalem. Many of them would have heard of Jesus, the great teacher and miracle worker. And his presence near Jerusalem at Passover must have created heightened expectations among the pilgrims. And that increases exponentially when Jesus appears riding on a young donkey. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells us that Jesus had sent his disciples ahead of him to procure this donkey, and that they had brought it to Jesus, put their cloaks on it, and set Jesus on it. Whatever Jesus meant to communicate by this act, it was clearly interpreted as an expression of his kingship. And the pilgrims began to acclaim him as king. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David," they shouted as some went ahead and some followed. Hosanna, as you've already heard, is an Aramaic term which means "save us, please save us." That was their cry for Jesus that day, "save us." They cut down palm branches, which are a symbol of Jewish nationalism, and waved them joyfully. In an extravagant gesture of adoration, they spread their cloaks on the road. The bare dirt was too common and dirty for their king to travel on. And as Rob mentioned earlier, that's as close as you get to the red carpet treatment back in those days. Tom Wright, the New Testament scholar, describes Jesus' actions on Palm Sunday as a piece of street theater in which Jesus acts out his understanding of his kingship. But Jesus' message seemed to have been lost somewhat on that pilgrim crowd that participated in the parade on the first Palm Sunday. Despite the hints that Jesus had given them along the way, not even his disciples understood what was happening that day as they hailed their king. They were so caught up with their fevered expectations and celebrations that they missed most of the significance of Jesus' actions. It would only come to them later as they reflected on it. But that's how most things about Jesus came to his disciples after the fact, after the resurrection, as they pondered. Things fell into place for them. It's only then that they would see the significance of the prophecy that Jesus was fulfilling that day. See, Jesus was their Messiah, it was true. And without question, he was their king. But what sort of Messiah would he be? What kind of king would he be? Jesus' choice of an animal for his mount should have given them a clue as to his agenda. But they missed it. Conquering kings rode stallions. Military leaders traveled in chariots. His mount was a young donkey, a humble, gentle animal. It was meant to illustrate the kind of king Jesus was and the type of kingdom that he was bringing. Matthew and John in their Gospels both point to the prophet Zechariah as the source for understanding Jesus' actions. Zechariah says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king is coming to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's from Zechariah 9:9. Verse 10 continues with these words, "I will take away the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations." That's the sort of Messiah he was going to be. Jesus' actions on that first Palm Sunday are in every way a continuation of his life and ministry. They reflect the heart of the kingdom that he announced and inaugurated with his teachings and healings. A king and a kingdom characterized by humility, gentleness, justice, love, and peace. That was the trajectory of his life from his birth in a barn to his death on a cross. He lived and taught and called his followers to a life of humble service, gentle, costly love in the pursuit of justice and peace. But the crowds that followed and acclaimed him king that day were not interested in such an agenda. They had little use for that sort of a kingdom. They wanted a conquering king, a messianic hero who would demonstrate military might. They looked for a national liberator, one who would defeat the Romans and restore Israel to its glory, to the glory it had under David. In their nationalistic and political aspirations, they misunderstood Jesus and missed the message he was communicating that day. In all their acclamations of Jesus, they were projecting their expectations on him. In all their adoration, they were imposing their agenda on him. And yet, it's important to notice, Jesus accepted their acclaim, misinformed though it was. It's worth pondering that. He accepts ours as well, misinformed though it may be at times, because he was their king. And though he was grieved by their inability to understand and appreciate the nature of his kingdom, and in one of the Gospels tells us that he grieves, he weeps over Jerusalem as he enters there, because he recognizes that hard times is ahead for them, and he grieves over their inability to see and perceive their king. Though he is grieved, he remained steadfast in his resolve. He proceeds to dictate and direct the rest of the week's events with deliberate and determined steps. Because in spite of the ways we misunderstand and misrepresent him, God's plans for his world rolls on. And we find ourselves caught up in it. And sometimes, often, usually, we hope, though it takes time, understanding and insight comes. It's often in hindsight, but in time, understanding and insight come. There's a sense in which Palm Sunday is very anticlimactic. It seems like it's building up to something big with all the cheering and acclamation. But you know something? Jesus is not crowned king that day. And in the days ahead, he will engage in further street theater as he cleanses the temple, a sign of his role as judge. As he calls out the religious leaders for their hypocrisy and their poor leadership. As he washes his disciples' feet and as he reinterprets the Passover meal for them. It's all street theater. It's all actions with a purpose and with a message. When Jesus finally takes his throne, it will be on a cross. And when he is finally crowned, it will be with thorns. In all of these actions, Jesus is telling the story of his kingdom, and he is revealing the kind of king he is. And so I encourage you to follow him this week, whether through the stations of the cross and ponder the different steps that he took, whether it's reading through one of the Gospels, the last third of one of the Gospels, that journey with him. I encourage you to ponder that, to follow him this week, to look and to listen and to learn the sort of king and the sort of kingdom he is bringing, the sort of kingdom he has brought us into. May we grow in our appreciation and love for our king this week. May we submit to his lordship and live wisely and well in his kingdom. Amen.